fool me once, shame on you. You, in this case, is the government that keeps violating the sacred trust of its citizenry. Fool me twice, shame on me. Me, in this case, is the collective of us, all of us, we the people, who should have learned early on that a government that repeatedly lies over and over, breaks laws, overreaches its authority, and abuses its power cannot be trusted. Fool me over and over and over again, then shame on both of us. Shame on every politician, bureaucrat, and technician who is a shill for the U.S. government's abuses and lies. Shame on every gullible American who keeps buying into the government's propaganda, believing that it has the American people's best interest at heart. Unfortunately, the government has seldom had our best interest at heart. Indeed, the government didn't have our best interest at heart when it propelled us into endless oil-fueled wars and military occupations in the Middle East that wreaked havoc on our economy, nearly destroying parts of it, stretched thin our military resources, and has subjected us to horrific blowback. There's no way the government had our best interest at heart when it passed laws subjecting us to all kinds of invasive searches and surveillance and censoring our speech and stifling our expression. It didn't have our best interest at heart when it rendered us anti-government extremists for daring to simply disagree with its dictates, locked us up for criticizing government policies on social media, has encouraged Americans to spy and snitch on their fellow citizens, and allowed government agents to grope, strip, search, taser, shoot, and kill us. Certainly, the government did not have our best interest at heart when it turned America into a battlefield, where it has transformed local law enforcement agencies into extensions of the military. It would be a far reach to suggest that the government had our best interest at heart when it locked down our schools, installing metal detectors and surveillance cameras, adopting zero tolerance policies that punish childish behavior as harshly as criminal actions, and teaching our young people that they have no rights at all. One would also be hard-pressed to suggest that the American government had our best interest at heart when it conducted secret, top-secret experiments on an unsuspecting populace, citizens and non-citizens alike, making healthy people sick by spraying them with chemicals, injecting them with infectious diseases, and exposing them to airborne toxins. The government reasoned that it was legitimate to experiment on people who did not have full rights in society, such as prisoners, mental patients, and poor blacks. The mindset during these programs has appropriately been likened to that of Nazi doctors experimenting on Jews. As the Holocaust Museum recounts, Nazi physicians actually conducted painful and often deadly experiments on thousands of concentration camp prisoners without their consent. These unethical experiments ran the gamut from freezing experiments using prisoners to find an effective treatment for hypothermia and injecting prisoners with malaria, typhus, tuberculosis, typhoid fever, yellow fever, and infectious hepatitis. It's easy to denounce full frontal horrors carried out by the scientific and medical community within a totalitarian regime such as Nazi Germany. However, what do you do with a government that claims to be a champion of human rights while allowing its agents to engage in the foulest and most despicable acts of torture, abuse, and human experimentation? In Alabama, for example, 600 African-American men with syphilis were allowed to suffer without proper medical treatment in order to study the natural progression of untreated syphilis. Then in California, older prisoners had testicles from livestock animals and from recently executed convicts transplanted in them to test their virility. Then in Connecticut, mental patients were injected with hepatitis. In Maryland, believe it or not, sleeping prisoners had a pandemic flu virus sprayed up their noses. In Georgia, 24 volunteering prison inmates had gonorrhea bacteria pumped directly into their urinary tracts through the penis. In Michigan, male patients at an insane asylum were exposed to the flu after being injected with an experimental flu vaccine. And in Minnesota, 11 public service employee volunteers were actually injected with malaria, then starved for 5 days. In New York, dying patients had cancer cells introduced into their systems. In Ohio, over 100 inmates were injected with live cancer cells. And in Staten Island, children, believe it or not, children with mental retardation were given hepatitis orally and by injection to see if they could be cured. This is not conspiracy theory, folks. This is all well documented. As the Associated Press reports, and I'm quoting, the late 1940s and 1950s saw a huge growth in the U.S. pharmaceutical and health care industries, accompanied by a boom in prisoner experiments funded by both the government and corporations, of course, for money. By the 1960s, and I'm still quoting here, at least half the states allowed prisoners to be used as medical guinea pigs because they were cheaper than chimpanzees. You gotta be kidding me. Government experiments are carried out on prisoners, human beings, because they are cheaper than chimpanzees. Moreover, some of these studies, mostly from the 1940s to the 1960s, apparently were never covered by the news media. Media blackouts, propaganda, and spin. Sound familiar? How many government incursions into our freedoms have we been blacked out, buried under so-called entertainment news and headlines, or spun in such a way as to suggest that any voicing word of caution is paranoia or conspiracy theories. Unfortunately, these incidents are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the atrocities the government has inflicted on an unsuspecting populace in the name of secret experimentation. As NPR reports, all of the World War II experiments with mustard gas were done in secret and weren't recorded on the subject's official military records. Most do not have proof of what they went through. They received no follow-up health care, believe it or not, or any monitoring of any kind. And they were sworn to secrecy about the test under threat of dishonorable discharge and military prison time, leaving some unable to receive adequate medical treatment for their injuries because they couldn't tell doctors what happened to them. Then there was the CIA's MKUltra program, in which hundreds of unsuspecting American civilians and military personnel were dosed with LSD, some having the hallucinogenic drug slipped into their drinks at the beach, in city bars, and at restaurants. As Time magazine reports, and I'm quoting here, before the documentation and other facts of the program were made public, those who talked of it were frequently dismissed as being psychotic, unquote. Now, one might argue that this is all ancient history and that the government today is different from the government of yesteryear. But has the U.S. government really changed? Has the government become any more humane, any more respectful of the rights of the people? Has it become any more transparent or willing to abide by the rule of law? Has it become any more truthful about its activities? Has it become any more cognizant of its appointed role as the alleged guardian of our rights? Or has the government simply hunkered down and hidden its horrendous acts and dastardly experiments under layers of secrecy? Has it not become wilier, sneakier, more slippery, more difficult to pin down? Having mastered the Orwellian art of doublespeak, are we not dealing with a government that is simply craftier and more conniving than it used to be? Consider this. After revelations about the government's experiments spanning the 20th century spawned outrage among some, the government began looking for human guinea pigs in other countries where clinical trials could be done more cheaply and with fewer rules. That's what they told us. For example, in Guatemala, prisoners and patients at a mental hospital were infected with syphilis, apparently to test whether penicillin could prevent some sexually transmitted disease. More recently, U.S.-funded doctors failed to give an AIDS drug to all the HIV-infected pregnant women in a study in Uganda, even though it would have protected their newborn children. Meanwhile, in Nigeria, children with meningitis were used to test an antibiotic named Trovan. 11 children died, and many others were left disabled, believe it or not. The lesson is this: the more things change, the more they stay the same. Case in point, it was recently announced that scientists working for the Department of Homeland Security will begin on a more regular basis of releasing various gases and particles on crowded subway platforms as part of an experiment aimed at testing bioterror airflow in New York subways. The government insists that these gases being released in the subways by the Department of Homeland Security are non-toxic and do not pose a health risk. It's in our best interest, they say, to understand how quickly a chemical or biological terrorist attack might spread. Mind you, this is the same government agency that has been likened to a wasteful, growing, fear-mongering beast by the Washington Post. This is the same government that in 1950 sprayed bacteria from Navy ships off the coast of Norfolk and San Francisco, exposing all the city's 800,000 residents. Later, experiments covered territory as wide as Ohio to Texas and Michigan to Kansas. And this is the same government that has taken every bit of technology sold to us as being in our best interest. GPS devices, surveillance, non-lethal weapons, and so on, and use it against us to track, control, and trap us. So when so-called conspiracy theorists, including the late rock musician Prince and civil rights activist Dick Gregory, suggest that those streaks crisscrossing the sky are chemtrails laced with behavior-modifying chemicals, you might want to tamp down on that knee-jerk reaction that chalks them up as nuts. After all, the government has done it before. You've heard what I've said. Are you getting my drift yet? What kind of government perpetrates such horrific acts on human beings, whether or not they are citizens? Is there any difference between a government mindset that justifies experimenting on prisoners because they are cheaper than chimpanzees and a government that sanctions jailhouse strip searches of individuals charged with minor infractions simply because it's easier on the jail warden's workload? And when all is said and done, what kind of people rationalize, write off, or just turn a blind eye to such monstrous acts of inhumanity? Shame on the government, yes, but shame on us for blindly trusting that the government's motives and priorities have changed. Shame on us for believing that the government's bloody wars on terrorists are keeping us safe in any way. And shame on us for placing greater value on the government's phantom promises of security over our own hard-won freedoms. And shame on us for allowing our government, our freedoms, and the rule of law to be held hostage at the end of a military-issued gun. Shame on us for letting ourselves be played for fools by individuals who care nothing for us, our health, our happiness, our welfare, our livelihood, our property, or our freedoms. And shame on us for letting ourselves to be bamboozled about the war on terror, deceived about the need to trade our freedoms for greater security, and conned into believing that turning America into a battlefield will actually make us safer. Shame on us for letting ourselves be double-crossed by politicians who promise, and they make a lot of promises, who promise to change while hoodwinking us into believing that politics is the answer to what ails the nation. Shame on us for not doing a better job of ensuring that future generations have some hope for a better, freer future. And most of all, shame on us that even after being repeatedly tricked, deluded, misled, swindled, and betrayed by government officials, even when we should have known better. Shame on us, yes. But still the question remains, why? What's in it for the government? The answer is money, greed, power, and control over we the people. But maybe there's something else. As John Lennon summed it up, and I'm quoting here, "I think we're being run by maniacs for maniacal ends, and I think I'm liable to be put away as insane for expressing that." Clearly, folks, it's time to rise up and put the power back into the hands of the American people before it's too late.